Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today, hoping everything works. I had to work on some issues with the new company. We are now live on Telegram as well. So for those watching via Telegram, we welcome you in to our morning briefing podcast, video podcast as well, that we put out on audio for you to go back and listen to. And for those watching on Telegram, it's only the live stream that you'll be able to see. So for those internationally who like Telegram, you can watch the replays. Will be on our Facebook group, and then you can listen to our podcast as well. But with that, let us check our emotions at the door as we stand on the wall praying for the Office of the President, as we have souls to save. And if you ever have any dreams, I haven't mentioned this in a while, about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com, and we will get those to our dream team, and they'll interpret them to help us all understand what's going on, because we all see in part, know in part, and some of you guys may be getting something that we're not, and we're here as a body working together to pray for the Office of the President. Okay, with that, I want to dive into the scripture of our study of reordering our day and the midnight watch as we look today towards the understanding of the principle of finding strength in the storm. And the story that we're looking at today comes from Judges 16, in the story of Samson and his walking out of the calling on his life for, you know, natural strength to live as a Nazarite, to not cut his hair. And in this story, even when, you know, Samson was in sin, the Lord still had allowed his strength to continue. And the point in this story that Chuck Pierce points out in his Reordering of the Day book is it talked about the Lord can still provide you the strength even when the enemy is surrounding you. And it starts in verse 1. It says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When it was told to the Gazites, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, 'Let us wait until the morning light, when then we will kill him.'" Now, this is the verse that I want to highlight. "Now, Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain, which is opposite Hebron." Now, we can see Samson put himself in this position, but God still provided the strength that he needed to be able to get out of that situation. And Chuck points out as his prayer point for this, he says, again, as you read this, declare that you will have the supernatural strength released from the Lord to break out and overcome what seems to be troubling you. And even later on in the story, one of the problems Samson dealt with was his pride of his strength and not living a life of integrity, which obviously with Samson and Delilah got him caught up to ultimately lose his strength. And so in this season, we want to stay humble, keep our emotions in check, continue to live a life of integrity, seeking after a relationship, holiness with the Lord. A lot of what Jeremiah Johnson's been talking about holiness and integrity. Also, Lou Engle, for the longest time, has always talked about this, of living this life of holiness and integrity for those who are called to be believers, and intercessors, prayers, and leaders within the body of Christ. And so we see here the example of what happens when we put ourselves in these situations, but ultimately for us in this season, of knowing that the Lord will provide the strength that we need to be able to get out of these extenuating circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Okay, today I, again, want to continue on a lot of the things we've been praying about the last couple days, in of really focusing in on this Ukraine issue. I want to update about the primaries last night in West Virginia and Nebraska, and then the abortion issue, and then ending on some comments made by the president yesterday on the economy. So we start in with the issue around Ukraine. There's been some updates, some things that have happened with conflict between Russia and Ukraine, as Ukraine is now blaming the Russians for taking grain out of the southeast region, which is for the Ukrainians and really the world a major problem as we get closer towards a potential grain shortage around the world, and something that I think that is starting to affect a lot of nations and will continue to affect more nations in the future. And this is important because we need to understand the dynamics and be sober about what's going on in this region and in how it will affect the rest of the country. And we're seeing now with a lot of the decisions coming out of Washington with the $40 billion aid package that, you know, we have a prophetic discernment to pray for this administration on this issue specifically. And so we want to continue to do that. But part of the reason why is we're seeing this, and this is an article from The American Thinker by Monica Showalter that points out that a lot of these decisions being made by this administration are, and this is, again, literally the dream Daniel Pierce had playing out before our very eyes, before any of this ever kind of popped off, of how she titled it, of slouching towards war with Russia, Biden's drift is getting dangerous. And she points out that there's decisions, you know, slow little decisions of funding the Ukrainian side of the war, not making Europe step up, NATO step up, which is kind of the reason Trump kind of pulled back from NATO and stopped funding NATO. And also the fact that, you know, with the whole gas and oil dynamic with Europe being so dependent upon Russia, and then the Americans and us not producing enough oil, that ultimately this is leading potentially towards a direct conflict with Russia to some degree. Now, whether it stays as a proxy with Ukraine right now is yet to be determined, but this is that Daniel Pierce stream of this back and forth, and we're seeing this back and forth. We have prophetic that this may last several years. And so we on this issue, we really want to continue to pray for this administration. And there's some belief that they're doing this in hopes of trying to, if we were to potentially go to a war towards the midterms or even the 2024 election, around that time, that they'll try to use that as a rallying cry to vote for people to keep the same administration in office, because how could you change the administration if you're in a time of war? I'm not saying that is what they're trying to do, but I'm saying that idea is out there. And rather than these being political issues, we want to pray for truth to come into the White House, and really more so fear of the Lord, to guide the decisions and guide those who have the ability to speak to the leaders and guiding them on what decisions need to be made. Because there are those in this White House, as we're seeing now with this new White House press secretary, who have a personal agenda that is, it has been publicly known, publicly stated to not be in the interest of number one, Americans and the world, and it's more so their own personal agendas that don't actually bring fruit and provide life, not only in the short term, but the long term. I think that's the best way to summarize it. And I want to point out the ideas, not the person, that are behind it, because it's not just one person. And so we want to pray and intercede for this Biden administration to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord to listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and Ukraine. And we need to continue to pray for that even more now, so as we're dealing with the conflict rising, continuing on. And then look, the further it goes on, the further problems that persist. We go back to some of the revelations that we're finding out now that between Ukraine and Russia and that region of the world, upwards of 40% of the entire world's grain harvest production is produced there. And right now, they're not growing seeds. They're not shipping it, selling it, which could help their economies, but that's another issue. And so now there's this, as this conflict goes on, this harms not just us here as Americans and we think, you know, inflation is bad for us, but think about the rest of the world where they don't have the ease of monetary policy to be able to use debt to go buy things and do this and that and the other. And you're already starting to see these shortages, and that's who it hurts the most. And to kind of lean into this idea of the midterms, we posted about it in the pipeline group yesterday, but now there's more analysis on it. And even from CNN, which is kind of pretty astonishing, is that the White House has come out and said that warning, and this is gearing towards the midterms, as something of why we want to pay attention to it, is that they're warning that upwards of 100 million COVID-19 cases will be in the fall and winter unless the House and Senate pass a $22.5 billion COVID funding. If you remember a week or two ago, literally Monday, where the analysis was that they wanted to get upwards of $10 billion of COVID funding tied to the Ukrainian funding, but because Republicans said, no, we're not passing the Ukrainian funding unless you split it. So now this is the big ask. $22.5 billion for more research and different things. And it's interesting to see this, because this is what's playing out with the COVID vaccines is the same thing that's playing out with the flu vaccines, is that by the time people actually get the vaccines and they're approved and everything, they're no longer effective. And my wife was listening to a podcast for vaccines for babies and children to determine, because we're trying to learn which ones are good to get, which ones are not, because this is a whole new area for us as parents. And the doctor herself, who administers these vaccines, flu vaccines for children and other vaccines, is seeing that same thing of by the time these kids get it, it's not effective. If she gives a vaccine to a child, flu vaccine to a child, ultimately within the next couple day or a week or so, that child is back in her office and they're having to fight the flu, because the variant of the flu changes constantly to mitigate the vaccine that it's been attacking. So it's a different strain. And you're seeing that exact same thing play out with COVID. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's something we have to deal with and learn to live with, as unless you're morbidly obese or old and have health problems and comorbidities, then basically, if you're not healthy, then yes, COVID is an issue, just as flu and pneumonia would be an issue. And I had an uncle die because he had flu, pneumonia, and COVID and all this other stuff because he was in bad health, unfortunately. And we mourn his loss. But I say this to say is, as we gear up towards the midterms, if cases, quote unquote, start to rise, what's going to happen to the elections? What's going to happen to life as we are getting back into, quote unquote, releasing of the totalitarian policies that have been in play? So something we want to be aware of, knowing as we go into these midterms, of understanding what's happening. And some results of the West Virginia primary yesterday are that the Democratic primary for U.S. House, Lacey Watson ran uncontested. In the Republican side, Carol Miller won the nomination. and I don't know what happened there. It rebooted. Let me reboot this. All right, let me pull this down. It went away for some reason. And basically, you're seeing top candidates win. There, I think Trump-backed person there won. But Nebraska is more revealing and I think provides a better interest and something to pay attention to and something to be aware of. If you live in West Virginia or Nebraska, know you're praying if you feel like you're called to pray for these states. And this is, again, I talked about it how last week with Ohio and Indiana, this is going to be the case. This is going to be the issue for Democrats and Republicans is, okay, for let's look at the governor's race in Nebraska. You have Carol Blood on the Democratic side, had 82,000 votes. And the second place, Roy Harris, was 10,000 votes. The first place for the Republican side was Jim Pilon, 88,000 votes. The runner-up was Charles Herbster, 79,000 votes. If this will be the issue in governors, Senate races, House races, local races, is as you have the 10,000 candidates for the Republican side and the one or two, three candidates for the Democratic side, is will the Republicans come together and support each other in understanding of how they need to vote biblically, morally. Hopefully they put up the candidate that is a biblical moral candidate who will live and guide and be guided by the fear of the Lord. Will they get behind that one candidate and push them together, being united? Because you know the Democrats will. Whoever's the nominee, they'll go for it. Look at Bernie Sanders. He doesn't agree with Joe Biden on a lot of things, but you know what? Joe Biden won the nomination. Bernie got paid off somehow, got another house, supposedly. And they all go back and they fight for each other. And so that's going to be the issue you're going to see ahead. There's enough votes there for a Republican to win, but it's will those votes, who people who voted in the primaries for the second and third runner-up, will they not vote? Will they vote Democrat? Will they vote independent? Will they vote for the, it just depends. So this red wave, okay, the red wave is there, but now you got to walk it out. Now you got to see these things coming forward. So I'll end on that, on the midterms, something to pay attention to, that same scenario is playing out state by state, primary by primary, as we get closer towards the midterms in the coming fall. Okay, I now want to briefly talk about an abortion issue and want to play comments by Janet Yellen. The reason I want to play this is because it's very alarming to see these comments, and then I want to play a response by Tim Scott, which I think are very, very poignant. Let me know if you can hear it. If not, I'll go ahead and read it. Again, new program, trying to figure everything out. And her reasoning for why abortions need to be in place is very, very alarming.
If the draft of the court's majority holding in Roe versus Wade is the actual decision, what impact will the loss of abortion access mean economically for women?
Well, I believe that eliminating the right of women to make decisions about when and whether to have children would have very damaging effects on the economy and would set women back decades. Roe v. Wade and access to reproductive health care, including abortion, helped lead to increased labor force participation. It enabled many women to finish school. That increased their earning potential. It allowed women to plan and balance their families and careers. And research also shows that it had a favorable impact on the well-being and earnings of children.
Okay. And those are all from an institutionalized standard, it would be called a silo. That's based upon one set of standards. That's based upon one set of results, and not looking at, hey, like somebody like Amy Coney Barrett, who has seven children, several of her own, and adopted a few, but he gets a sitting Supreme Court justice on the United States Supreme Court. I think she blows people out of the water. There's even actors who have children but yet are still able to be actors, and people who have children are able to be jobs. And look, that's not to say that, you know, every woman can do it, or it's totally dependent upon the person. Some people can work, some people prefer to stay at home. But what's interesting is Tim Scott's response of understanding the real magnitude of who actually, you know, quote unquote, benefits from this. And I play this because he himself, a black man who grew up in utter poverty, he says it himself, but yet was able to have a life and able to overcome all the odds and live a life and become a sitting United States senator.
I'm just surprised that we find ways to weave into every facet of our lives such an important and painful reality for so many people, to make it sound like it's just another 0.4% added to our labor force participation as a result of the issue of abortion. Just
that right there is key. The 0.4% of labor force participation that will be added back into it, which I have another comment there to add, but
seems harsh.
Well, I certainly don't mean to.
I don't want to be harsh, is what she's saying. And she says that.
Say what I think the effects are in a manner that's harsh. What we're talking about is whether or not women will have the ability to regulate their reproductive.
Okay, it's all about control. And then she goes on in the end to say this.
Pull over into labor force participation, but it means that children will grow up in poverty and do worse themselves.
Thank you. Let me just say my time on the topic.
This is the truth.
This is not harsh. This is the truth.
Woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here as United States Senator.
He's thankful to be here as a sitting United States Senator and would not have been able to have that option if his mom chose differently. And thankfully, his mom chose wisely to provide life to him, even in whatever situation he is. And then it goes back to, look, our biggest issue, it goes back to, there needs to be a revival, not just a certain policy put in place. You can overturn Roe, but at the end of the day, you're seeing it now. They're talking about back alley abortions and this and that and the other. And that deals with the heart issue. And you can't, FDR talked about this, you can't force somebody to do something. You can't change their heart by writing a policy. You have to persuade them, and more so via relationship with the Lord, have a repentance, a revival of an outpouring of a change in their lives, a turning from their wicked ways, as we ourselves have to turn from our wicked ways. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans tells us that. Paul tells us that in Romans. And so point this out, because I wanted to end on this, but I felt like it was too great to not to talk about this right now, is that as you're seeing all this come up, the issue on abortion, everybody's chiming in on it. And the reality is that you don't need less people. You know, Elon Musk talks about how the biggest problem in the world right now is a decreasing population rate. And we need more children. We don't need less. Not only that, if you're looking at, you know, economically speaking, you go back and actually study the reason why Social Security is failing and will fail at the rate it's going at is because we don't have enough people joining the labor force and paying into Social Security for future generations. Right now, those who are taking out of Social Security are doing fine. And for the next couple of years, they might do fine. But it's the long-term effects of the only way Social Security would work is in a glass box. Of if you have more people who are in the labor force than those who are pulling out. You may pay $50 a month. I may pay $100 a month. Another person may pay $200 a month. But one person may be pulling $400, $500, $600, $700, if not more a month. And so the numbers just don't add up. If you have two people paying in for one person pulling out, you need more people putting more money in. And that's the problem with Social Security, is because you have a decreasing population rate here in the States and those aren't joining the labor force, that's why the funds are drying up faster, and then for the fact that they're pulling out here, there, and for this social welfare program and all the other such. So literally the reality of the facts for Janet Yellen saying we need to have abortion because it helps the labor and the economy. That's ultimately false. You need more babies, more people joining the labor force than actual less people joining the labor force. And so I point that out to see that it's just absolutely absurd. And then you're seeing this, Justice Alito's neighbors, I think this is just amazing, were opened up their windows to the protesters and were playing on their piano the Christian hymn, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, which is just amazing. And when asked, the neighbor was quoted in saying, "I wanted to do something to counter the noise. There is nothing more steadfast than the joy of worshiping our Savior through precious hymns." And this is not to speak for or against hymns. It's just to say that's just utterly amazing. In the chaos and the storm, they're finding peace, which I think is really, really amazing. And you know, I'm going to end there because I've gone long. I'll put out a video for tomorrow about comments made by Biden on these economic issues and why we need to pray there. But I think this is enough. It is we're today in this midst of a storm. Let's continue to pray for these justices as we're seeing these attacks on them, their family, anybody who stands up for life, as we come towards the midterms, and interceding for this Golden Court case, for life, protection for the justices, for their families, and specifically praying for Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh as they gear up for the possible ridicule that will come their way as they go against the quote-unquote popular public opinion. And in reality, it's a very small minority group of people who actually want this. You're seeing all the polls, depending on who's asked, show that more Americans want life. Now that means we have to step up. There's still, it's not easy. It's not just all set in stone that life will 100% be saved and life will 100% be easy. There are some truths to what Janet Yellen is saying, is people will be in poverty, but Jesus tells us the poor you will have with you always. And it's a way for us in this time of high inflation, in this time of decreasing economies. And I'll put out a video for tomorrow on that. And I'll talk about that tomorrow, because that's really the false narrative that's being put out there of, well, they can't survive. They can't do that. So we want to stand for life. And look, we have to back that up with our actions. And that's where Democrats and those who are pro-abortion stand against ending Roe v. Wade, is because of that very issue. You say you want life, but there has been a lack of support for the lives that are now had, as you're seeing in Texas, of walking them through and being there with them, if you quote-unquote so-called care. And there's a little bit of truth to that. So we want to stand on that, understand that this comes some responsibilities if we're going to stand for life, and accept that and walk towards that as well. So blessings to each and every one of you for standing with us, praying for the office of the president. Today we will have our noon prayer, our appeal to heaven, and then our Wednesday night service as well. I will put out a video for tomorrow. I'll not be here Friday as I'm traveling to hopefully be in Shreveport by this weekend. And then next week, I will join back again from Shreveport-Bossier in producing this podcast and probably other noon prayers and other things as well. So blessings. I will see you guys tomorrow as I record another video. And then I will be back with you guys next week. So blessings, and glad to have on those who watched via Telegram.